Are you born again?
Do not habitually sin. The born again believe that Jesus is the Christ. The born again practice righteousness. The born again love the people of God. The born again overcome the world. The born again keep themselves pure.
Are you born again?
Are you born again? The world is full of opinions, and I believe that our culture is perhaps one of the most opinionated of them all. How many of you enjoy the opportunity to give your opinion? If you look inside the first few pages of most major magazines, they have the latest statistics for this, that, and the other. You know, lots of numbers for a country in which only 20% say they like math. I was looking up some stats the other day. You know, get this. 88% of Americans own a Bible. 82% of Americans believe in God. 60% go to church. 80% of Americans call themselves Christians, but only 45% say that they are born again. Of the 88% that have Bibles, most homes have more than three Bibles. A quarter of households have six or more Bibles, but only 37% read it at least once a week. Only 19% read it at least four times a week and believe it is the inspired Word of God. 2.2% of those who consider themselves Christians do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm not sure what kind of Christian that is. 70% believe in Jesus' resurrection. Of those who say that they are born again, that 45%, 97% believe in God. Now, isn't that cause for celebration? 97% believe in the resurrection. 92% believe in the virgin birth. 68% believe that God created the world in 6 days. And 16% believe in evolution. I, for one, love giving my opinion, and I live for those moments when a researcher will call to ask me questions. Unfortunately, it doesn't happen very often, and no one has yet to ask me the question, "What do you think about the president?" But I did get a call a few weeks ago about underage drinking, and towards the end of the questioning, the guy asked me if I was conservative. Then he asked if I was born again. We live in a strange time, folks, when words are being redefined to the point that most of the time we aren't ever too sure of what people are really saying, what they are really asking. Do you ever feel like that? Now, when I hear the term born again, well, I get a certain image. When I hear the word evangelical, I get an image not altogether different. The term Christian conjures up certain thoughts, some good and some not so good. But here's the point. What is the real deal? I mean, lots of people are saying that they are Christians, aren't they? And if 80% of Americans are really Christians, then why does our country look more and more like Babylon? Something is missing. And so we up the ante a little bit and we say, born again. Now, so far as the unsaved goes, well, that's one thing. They can believe what they want to believe. But when 3% of those who go so far as to call themselves born again also claim that they don't believe in God or Christ's resurrection, and 8% don't believe that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, there's a problem.
Are you born again?
And just what is born again? Turn, if you will, to 1 John, starting in chapter 3. John wrote this letter to the churches in Asia, of which he was the bishop or overseer. These churches were strong in the faith and well taught. But there was also a group of people called Gnostics, people who were in the know, if you will, who were attempting to sow seeds of untruth in these churches. So John, the apostle, was writing this so that his churches could judge if certain people were truly born again believers. He gave them 6 criteria for making this judgment. Now let me make this point clear, though. These criteria are what born again looks like, not what you have to do to be born again. There is a big difference. Well, what is it to be born again? First of all, Jesus told the Pharisee Nicodemus, "No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born anew." Genethe anothen, born again, or literally, born from above. To be born again is, in effect, regeneration. So from the outset, we understand that being born again is something out of our hands. It comes from above. It is an act of God. The point Jesus made to Nicodemus was simply that no one decides to be born again any more than they decided to be born the first time. So what does born again look like? 1 John 3:9. No one who is born of God practices sin, or will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. The born again do not habitually sin. The King James reads, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." Now, although this is an accurate literal translation, it does not reveal the proper meaning of the verb tense. The tense of the verb here expresses a continued action, not a single occurrence. I knew a young man who read the verse, "No one who is born of God commits a sin." Now, his test for whether you were a true Christian or not is whether you sin. And it's not an uncommon interpretation, but it sure makes for a yo-yo kind of salvation. Well, today you're doing well, you're saved. Tomorrow you slip up, not saved. Next week, good, you're saved. Next month, bad, not saved. And if your salvation is based on your performance, well, then you are in trouble. Quick poll, how many of you sin? But it doesn't say that, does it? It says, does not practice or continue in sin. How often do we bandage our kids' knees or give them a Tylenol or take care of our spouse when they're sick? Would you say, then, that you are practicing medicine? Are you a medical practitioner? To practice something is to make it a decidedly normative part of your lifestyle or character or vocation. It is more than an action. It is an engagement of the heart, the will, and whole inclination. Before regeneration, man has no issue with sin. Sin is something defined by others. A child may learn from their parents or teachers that certain things are sins, but these are somewhat relative. The fact that God may call something sin has no bearing on the unregenerate man. He practices sin. It is who he is. This is why someone can be living in what is obvious to you as sin and have absolutely no problem with it themselves. The unregenerate person says with full conviction, "It's my life and it's my business and I don't need your opinion." The born-again person, on the other hand, may yet sin, but it will be felt deep in the spirit. When David sinned, he made this prayer in Psalm 51. "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge." Sin brings upset, discontent, unease, and depression to the born again. Why? Because when God regenerates, the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in the very person, and God cannot tolerate the presence of sin. There is a drug that's sometimes given to recovering alcoholics that causes sickness whenever alcohol is consumed. The craving for alcohol may yet remain, but as soon as he takes that drink, he will surely feel it. This is sort of how the Holy Spirit operates in God's people. Quick poll.
Are you born again?
Are you born again? Skipping over to 1 John 5, verse 1. "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, or Messiah, is born of God." The born again believe that Jesus is the Christ. Over 2,000 years after his coming, I think the force of the word Christ has perhaps lost some of its oomph. In Matthew 16, Jesus asks his disciples who they think he is. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, this was a very serious thing to say. If Peter was wrong, then he would be guilty of blasphemy and justifiably killed. But Jesus responded, "This truth was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Jesus knew Peter's heart and soul and knew that Peter's understanding was not just Peter's own thinking, but he placed the source of this knowledge at the very throne of God. Now, we know such verses like John 20:31, "But these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Or Acts 16:30-31, "What must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Romans 10:9, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." In Galatians 3:22, "But the Scripture declares that the whole world is a prisoner of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe." I think that we think of Christ as being Jesus' last name sometimes, or just part of his name. But Christ is not a name, but a title. It is a function. In Islam, there is a confession that all Muslims must recite. Devout Muslims repeat it as often as possible every day. It is the Shahada and goes,
"La ilaha illa Allah, Muhammad Rasul Allah."
There is no God but Allah. Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. In Islamic belief, the mere recitation of this makes one a Muslim. Now, thankfully, in truth, it does not. In Nichiren Buddhism, the actual object of worship is the chant,
"Nam-myoho Renge Kyo."
Through chanting, people are able to tap into their inner enlightened nature and receive guidance and discernment from the collective universe, which is God. Figure that one out. To acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ means that you believe that Jesus is the only Savior who can pardon your soul and save you from eternal punishment. Anyone who knows Jesus as the Christ also knows that he or she is unworthy in any way to be pardoned. They know that their sin is ever before them, as King David wrote, and that their sinfulness deserves eternal punishment. But they also know that this Jesus, who is the Christ, is fully trustworthy and able and faithful, and not only can save, but will save those who are his. Christ alone is sufficient. No person who is born again would say it was by his own goodness or his own works, his own ability or intelligence, or even by his church that he is saved. All the credit, from his regeneration to his belief to his sanctification, goes to the Savior Jesus Christ. All Scripture points to this very fact. And furthermore, the whole counsel of Scripture points to the fact that this confession cannot be revealed by man, like the Islamic Shahada or the Buddhist Om, but only by God, from above, Anothen. In other words, simply saying that Jesus is the Christ, well, that can't save anybody. It has to be a truth acknowledged by the very heart, soul, and will. Quick poll.
Are you born again?
Are you born again? 1 John 2:29. "If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of God." The born again practice righteousness. No longer do they practice sin, but righteousness. In this verse, John says that since God the Father is righteous, then his children must be righteous, for righteousness begets righteousness. Righteousness is the opposite of sinfulness. It means holiness. Holiness means set apart for God. Sinfulness, on the other hand, is set apart from God. Again, does this mean that the born again never sin? Well, of course not. And 1 John 1:8 reminds us that If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. As we learned earlier, it means that the one who is born again doesn't practice sin. Likewise, to practice righteousness is much more than doing a good deed here and there. It's a lifestyle. Listen to these excerpts from Psalm 119, a wonderful expression of those who practice righteousness. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in His ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to Your word, I seek You with all my heart. I rejoice in following Your statutes. I meditate on Your precepts. I delight in Your decrees. My soul is consumed with longing for Your laws at all times. Your statutes are my delight. I have set my heart on Your laws. I long for Your precepts. I delight in Your commands. I obey Your precepts. Now, these words were penned by a man who was sitting in a Babylonian jail cell during the exile. He loved the Lord his God with all his heart, soul, and mind, and he couldn't understand how so many of his fellow Israelites could forsake God's law and join right in with the Babylonian culture. Righteousness, then, is rooted, first of all, in who God is. Secondly, it is rooted in His laws. Children of God love His law and desire above all else to please God in all that they do. Being born again is not simply about acting right. Now I'm going to make a little segue and mention something that should be bothersome to all born again believers. Somehow a lot of people have gotten the idea that it's the right thing to do to raise our children in church. And this is why we often see young families start coming to church when their kids hit about 3 or 4 years old. It is also the exact same reason why those children leave the church when they're 18. They have confused righteousness with right conduct, them and their parents. They've confused faith with feeling, belief with behavior. Kids pick up on this very fast. The whole church thing is just about behaving in a certain way. We don't need to teach our kids how to behave in church. We need to teach them how to love God and to love His Word. We need to educate them in the faith, in the Scriptures. Faith alone, Scripture alone, Christ alone. So the born again acts right because he is a child of God. He is not a child of God because he acts right. But he also knows that he is not perfect. Sin still crouches at his door. There are times when he isn't sure of anything anymore. Sorrow and grief may still grip him at times, but the light of Christ within him will always enable him to hang on to God's wonderful grace. Quick poll.
Are you born again?
Are you born again? 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. The born again have a love for the church. Not the church building per se, but for the ecclesia, the called out ones, the people of God. It is difficult sometimes within the church community. We don't always get along famously with everyone all of the time. Sometimes people get their feelings hurt. Sometimes somebody opens their big mouth and says something not very nice. And sometimes certain people get a little too big for their britches and they try to take over something. I hope that doesn't happen where you are, but it does happen. Peter admonishes his people, saying, "Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." 1 Peter 3:8 and 9. In 1 John 3:14, John does not say in our verse that we are saved because we love the brethren. Love for our brothers and sisters is the evidence, not the basis for spiritual life. We love because God first loved us. We are able to love one another because we love God. And we are able to love God because He saved us by His grace. In essence, we love the brethren who are His children out of our thankfulness to God. John Newton, former slave trader and author of the great hymn Amazing Grace, said,
I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I want to be. I am not what I hope to be in another world, but still, I am not what I once used to be. And by the grace of God, I am what I am.
The apostle reminds them that they had passed from death to life. They must all then acknowledge that it was God who led them from their death and sin to new life in Christ. It is important for us also to remember where we once were. When we remember the darkness in which we once lived, the light of salvation is so much brighter. Do you remember the darkness you once embraced? Here's a little exercise. When you look at your brother or sister in the Lord, you need to ask them why they should love you at all, knowing what kind of person you once were. Born-again believers feel no more at home than when they are with other believers. And why not? They are family. Together they love and worship the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And together they fight against the enemies of God. Together they have compassion for the lost. But the born again love one another. Quick poll.
Are you born again?
Are you born again? 1 John 5:4. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. The born again overcomes the world. This is a hard saying. We tend to think that maybe this means to overcome the bad stuff in the world. The Greek word for world is kosmos, and it has several meanings. It can mean the universe, the world of men, the world of the ungodly, all that is contrary to God. Generally, in the New Testament, it is this last meaning that is used. Everything that is contrary to God, meaning the world is under the dominion and power and authority of the evil one, the anti-God. When we look around at the utter beauty of God's creation, we stand amazed. I love looking at pictures of other places and dreaming of visiting all the corners of the earth. And I love looking at pictures from the Hubble Space Telescope. They are amazing. It is mind-boggling at what God has made. Yet let us not forget that all of it is fallen. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. He says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. All of creation, all of the innocent bystanders of nature, everything affected by Adam's sin, is eagerly awaiting the final restoration at Christ's return. But, and listen to this again, this is beautiful, creation is eagerly and expectantly waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Friends, mark this, because you won't find it in any of your kids' history books at school. All of history, from the beginning until the very end, is all about one thing: Jesus Christ redeeming His people, the children of God. Scripture tells us plainly that there are two types of people in this world: the children of God and the children of the evil one. The children of God have been, are being, and will continue to be redeemed. And the children of the evil one will always try to stand in the way because they are by nature anti-Christ. So, do we shut ourselves up in our homes and churches and try to avoid the world? Of course not. We are in the world. but the children of God are not of the world. James writes, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." The born again are aliens here. Again, Peter says, "Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." They are not to conform to the world's patterns of antichrist living, the world's standards for right and wrong, the world's thinking or philosophies. God's children are set apart from that. They are holy, the agion, the holy ones. And all of creation, which has been knocked out of sync with its Creator because of Adam's sin, is craning its neck even now to see who these beautiful people are. Isn't that a wonderful image? And what if God, choosing to show His wrath and make His power known, bore with great patience the objects of His wrath who were prepared for destruction? And what if He did this to make the riches of His glory known to the objects of His mercy, whom He prepared in advance for glory? Romans 9:22-23. So, overcoming the world is an operation of the Holy Spirit working in the born again. It is called sanctification. Jesus prayed, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." The literal rendering is, "Sanctify them in the truth of you." The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The one who is born again by nature of his new birth struggles against the world, which is by its own nature against the being or the ethos of God. Until the final day when Jesus Christ restores His creation, this world is not our home. This world is a workplace. This world, and whatever place and time of the world that the church happens to be in, is the sphere of operation for the church of God. Yes, there are many things to enjoy and do and see and lots of fun to be had, but these are all done within the framework of directives which God has given. 1. Love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. 2. Love your spouse with the love of Christ, because this single relationship is supposed to be the picture to the world of how Jesus loves His church. 3. Love your children and raise them with the fear of the Lord and educate them in all aspects of the faith. 4. Live the gospel, preach the gospel, and teach the gospel to others. As much as we want to see a community, a nation, a world given over to Christ, we have to accept the fact that this cannot fully happen until the end of time. But we preach and teach the gospel to all who will hear it, because faith comes by hearing. Have you overcome the world? Quick poll.
Are you born again?
Are you born again? 1 John 5:18, "He who is born of God keeps himself." So finally, the born again are pure. One who is born again is careful to not put his soul in danger. As one who does not practice sin, and as one who has overcome the world, he doesn't just avoid sin, but he dutifully avoids the things which may inevitably lead to it. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is a hard one. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." If we meditated on God's law day and night, if we did not hang out with those who mocked God and His church, if we did not habitually put ourselves in the places where sinners are, if we did not purposefully walk and talk among those who gave ungodly counsel, all of which we get from our televisions, by the way, then we would probably do very well to keep ourselves pure. Take a quick inventory here. Who are your friends? Who do you spend your time with, either at work or at home? What TV shows do you enjoy watching? What do you do on the internet? What do you read? And what do you allow in your home, even though you personally don't like it? All of these things are what goes into your mind and into your spirit and affect what comes out in your thinking and in your actions. I refer back to the beginning of this sermon. We all love to give our opinions. To whose opinions are you subjecting yourself or your children? Because again, there are only two main opinions, those of ones who know Jesus Christ as Lord and those of ones who do not. And I can assure you there is much more of the second kind among us. My wife and I have been getting somewhat indignant about these horrible billboards going up in our area from certain plastic surgeons, Dr. Cummings in particular. We met a young man who actually happens to be friends with the surgeon and his wife, who is the woman featured on the billboards. This young man is also very active in his church, yet he found absolutely no conflict between his Christianity and his defense of the billboards, which border on the pornographic. There is a big difference between what many call Christianity and what the scriptures call born again. According to the statistics I cited earlier, there should be over 110,000 born-again Christians in Onslow and Duplin counties. If that were true, and if every one of them called the county managers about these billboards, which assault our eyes and the eyes of our children, we probably wouldn't be seeing them very much longer, would we? Friends, we need to think more and be more careful about those things to which we expose ourselves. The born-again take care, constant care, of what goes into their ears, their eyes, their mouths, their hands, their minds, and where their feet take them. A lot of Christians are highly concerned with what happens in their sanctuaries at their churches, but don't care much about the temple of God, which is their body. The flip side is that many Christians who don't care about their body or their temples take the same flippant attitude in their churches. Are God's children ever content with a lack of reverence for the Lord our God? Are you? Quick poll.
Are you born again?
Are you born again? 1 John 1, 3 and 4. The Apostle John says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." This is the bottom line for those who are born again.
Are you born again?
They have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with one another. Many people think that being good and doing no harm to others is the same as Christianity. Friends, it is not. Biblical Christianity is so much more than that. There are many other belief systems which believe in being good, having high moral standards, taking care of the environment, being healthy, being kind and gentle, not hurting those who are innocent, not murdering, not stealing, and so on. And even though Christianity believes these things, they are not the essence of Christianity. These things are the essence of civilization. Christianity boasts something that no other faith in the world can boast: actual fellowship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Some people have a historical faith. They hold to the orthodox teachings of the Christian faith in their minds, but do not have a relationship with God. Some have a faith in miracles, and they ask for signs and messages, but they do not know the Savior, and therefore do not know salvation. They wait for the dead to speak, and they seek to know what is not theirs to know. They are only superstitious. Some have a temporary faith, which may last for a while. They got excited about this new teaching. They recited a prayer, maybe even got wet. But real faith was never present. All of these are only forms of unbelief. There are many who may be faithful attendees of their churches, and they take communion every Sunday, but salvation has not come to them. There are many who have contended for the faith and fought for the principles of Christianity, but they never knew God. There is no true regeneration present. A true and living and saving faith is the gift of God. It is not something that you can just grab and make your own. It is something put into your hands, as any gift is, and by it you are made His own. It is solely by His grace and not by any work of your own, so that you cannot boast of getting it or of giving it to others. What you do now with that precious gift is up to you. Has God given you the gift of faith? Take it, live it, and by it give your all to Jesus. Work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Find within you all those places that you have yet to surrender to Him. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, chosen that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. I will end with a final verse from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone that has this hope in Him purifies himself, just as God is pure. Are you born again? If you feel God is at this moment offering His saving and healing gift out to you now, take it, take hold of it. It is free. If you feel that you have not been living the life that He has commanded you to live in its fullness, ask Him to help you surrender it now. Tell Jesus that it is time to let go of everything and give it to Him. Our God, through the Holy Spirit and in Jesus Christ, wants to be in fellowship with you. Amen.